Hi, Juliet the Rabbi here, coming to you from New York City. Welcome to my podcast, Shabbat Shalom. Today I'm going to be talking about tree hugging and rudeness. RealRabbiNYC.com. I forgot to say that. RealRabbiNYC.com. Go to my website, check out everything. So let's jump right in here. As you may be able to hear by my voice, I've been sick this week. I've either had the flu or a bad cold. Who knows? I tested for COVID. It was negative. But I've been in bed all week. I almost thought I wasn't going to write at all this week or do my podcast. But it's like a common theme with me anyway. I go through this. I often go through this. I have no inspiration. I have no idea what to write. And this week, though I've been sick in bed with the flu or a cold, and it's been special circumstances, which I could excuse myself for, but you know, then I listen to something or I read something or one line of the Parsha keeps sticking in my head and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm going to make it really short. I'll just do this one thing. And this week, the one thing is about the line in Leviticus 5:7, Ve'im lo tagia yado, if the person's means do not suffice. Literally translated, it means if the person's hand does not reach. In other words, far enough, right? If they don't have enough, their means just don't fulfill. So the context is the type of animal a person is supposed to sacrifice based on the type of wrongdoing needed that's needing forgiveness. Can they afford that animal? If they can't, they can exchange it for a different animal, different type of bird, for example. This week's reading, as we begin the book of Leviticus, if you haven't already guessed, which is also called Vayikra, is all about sacrifices. Vayikra means, and he called, which is how the Parsha and the entire book begins. Vayikra el Moshe vayidaber yod-heh vav-heh elav. And God called to Moses and spoke to him. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, famous rabbi, English British guy, right? Maybe you've heard of him. Answers the question. So he brings the question forward that Rashi asks, which is, why does it say here that God called to Moses and then speaks to him when it usually simply says God spoke to Moses? Sacks quotes Rashi, the 11th century Torah commentator, who explains it's because, in his opinion, it's because each time God is calling specifically to Moses, it's a personal calling. I had another very lively and challenging discussion with my younger daughter last week, over Shabbos actually, about the state of the world and our individual responsibility and ability in creating the future that we want for it. And she was questioning, she's like, there are these people, she's telling me about her eco-spirituality class at Hunter College. She says there are people who believe that our civilization is crumbling and there's nothing we can do about it, so you might as well just sit back and relax and stop fretting so much. Just observe it. It sounds kind of, I mean, this observation thing might be, you know, Buddhism talks about just observing a lot, right? But it doesn't mean that Buddhism or, you know, means just sit back and do nothing. That doesn't mean that. And that's a misinterpretation of it. But I'm not here to talk about Buddhism. Let's get back to that question. If our civilization is crumbling and there's nothing we can do about it, she's asking, but where's the hope? Like, okay, in a way that's comforting. It's like, all right, this problem is way too big for me to handle. And that's true for all of us. We feel so overwhelmed. But where's the hope in it? It's also kind of depressing. And I responded with something that I heard on an interview with Krista Tippett on Being, Isabel Wilkerson. It's just a couple of weeks ago, maybe last week. This question, what can we do, came up from someone in the audience. There was a huge audience there. It was in person. And the interviewee asked, Wilkerson asked, oh no, she answered, sorry. Stick to your expertise and your field. If you're in the medical field, serve the world through that expertise. If you're a climate scientist or you're an activist of some kind, serve in that way. But the crux of the answer was, do whatever's in your personal. She was very adamant about saying that we serve the world in a very personal way, right? In other words, it's all about what's within your reach. When reviewing Vayikra, it's hard to miss the repetition with each sacrifice that's described. The person making the sacrifice must place their hand on the head of the animal. And you read this like line after line, and place your hand on the head of the animal, place your hand on the head of the animal. And so, of course, as I was reading, I was like, that's really interesting over and over again. Why does it say this? That's the first thing it says. It doesn't say why. But to me, it seems to be a sign of respect for the animal. Maybe you thought that too. My daughter ultimately sent me a document entitled An Animist Manifesto. Animism, if you've heard of it or haven't, it's about respecting the living world. And it says that much more is living and alive than we think. We think about objects and things, and that we and animals are the only things living. And those who can think, and those who have, right? There's a certain, like, we're above others because we have this ability to think, and there's this whole hierarchy. And animism says, no, everything is equal. Everything is a person, except plastic. Plastic is not a person. So I want to end with this excerpt. Just because the world and the cosmos is full of life does not make it a nice and safe place to live. Lots of people are quite unfriendly to others. Many see us as a good dinner. They might respect us as they eat us, or they may need education. Like us, they might learn best in relationship with others who show respect even to those they don't like, and especially to those they like the taste of. Although evolution has no aim, life is not pointless. The purpose of life is to be good people and good humans, or good rocks, or good badgers. What we have to find out is what good means, where we are, when we are, with whom we are, and so on. It is certainly wrapped up with the word respect and all the acts that implies. The lessons of Vayikra for me at this time, that was the end of the quote. The lessons from Vayikra for me at this time is for us each to answer these questions very personally. The questions are, what are we being called to do in this moment as we are where we are? How can you show respect in this moment, place, and circumstance? And how far can your hand reach? These should be guiding questions for the choices and the sacrifices we make. So, like, if I make this really personal for me in this moment, how can I show respect for myself, for my body in this moment? This week, it was lying in bed and doing nothing but watching TV. That was showing respect to my body and what I needed at the moment. I know that's a funny thing, but it's like I have to actually do this, play this game with myself and talk to myself about it and say, it's okay if you did that this week, that you're doing that in this moment, that you're just watching TV like we did during the pandemic, which is not over, not implying that it's over, but in the first couple of years of the pandemic. So, what are you being called to do in this moment as you are where you are? How can you show respect in this moment, place, and circumstance? And how far can your hand reach? Because, as the Animist Manifesto says, It might be rude to hug a tree without knowing it. Try introducing yourself first and say, amen. And I'll see you next week. And God willing, I'll be all better and have a good Shabbos and whatever else you're planning for the weekend. Okay. RealRabbiNYC.com. Go there. Make a donation. So needed and so appreciated to help me continue this work. Until next time. Bye. Thank you.